Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and on today's show, I'm talking about masturbation and the latest trend, doomsterbating. Plus, how to fit sex in with busy schedules, how to give a better hand job, and best practices for swinging. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. All right, intentions with Emily. For each show, I want to start off by setting an intention for the show, and I encourage you all to do the same. Well, what do I mean by this? When you're listening, I want you to think about what you actually want to get out of listening to this episode and how you think it may help you. It could be, well, I've been concerned about my masturbation habits lately, and I want to make sure it's still an empowering and satisfying practice. My intention was just to give you some ideas about how to make your self-loving even better, especially now that we've all been stuck at home. Of course, it's, you know, pretty much always a good time, but I want you to think about what you can do to make it more intentional, exploratory, and of course, pleasurable. And stick around because I also take your calls and do a quick rundown of questions I received on Instagram. Oh, I love reading those and answering as many as I have time to get to on the show. So if you'd like to ask me about your sex life, dating, or relationships, you can message me on Instagram. It's @sexwithemily. Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com. As always, include your name, your age, and how you've listened to the show. You can also, get this, call into my SiriusXM show. It's Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific time, and you can just call me, even if you don't have Sirius. 888-94-STARS or 888-947-8277. You can also get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. All right, like I said, we're talking about masturbation today, but first, let's zoom out a little and look at the bigger picture. There's interesting things about this time because we've all had to significantly alter our lives, pretty much. Even if you're an essential worker and you've had to work every day, you know, maybe you're going home to a house where somebody has been home all day, and it's just the dynamic has changed for everyone. I know that there's some new habits that I've built that I've followed that have been super helpful. Getting up earlier, being more focused with work because I never leave and I just sit in Zoom for 8 hours. But some things I've noticed that have kind of been bothering me lately. It's funny because I've talked to you about this, you know, last year, and that is just scrolling right into the night. And I always say that the bedroom should be for sleeping and for sex. And that's it. Leave the technology out of the bedroom. And I'm not the only one who says this. It helps with sleep. And I was pretty good about it for a while. I left the phone outside the room, but I've noticed during quarantine, it's just there. in the bedroom, and then like an hour go by and I'm on my phone, I'm scrolling, and then you're like, what did I just do the last hour? I can't get that time back. I recently rectified that because I bought a new alarm clock that's across my room and it charges the phone, but my phone is not next to me and my alarm is set. So I have to get up in the morning and get my phone. And that's just started like two nights ago. But in talking to a lot of you, I feel like there have been some habits that might have been developed over quarantine. But I'm telling you this because there's a new term and it's called doomsterbating. So that's a combination of masturbating and doom scrolling at the same time. Really, that's pretty common right now. I think before the pandemic, my bedroom was sleeping and sex. But now I find myself, I'm eating in bed, I'm taking calls in bed sometimes. We're multitasking. You know, maybe you have roommates, so all your Zoom calls are in your bedroom. And so essentially, when we talk about it, like multitasking, it's like, you know, reading emails and scrolling Instagram, right? You might be doing that. You're multitasking. But what people are doing now, they're not just doom scrolling. They're now throwing in masturbation. They're like scrolling Instagram. They're texting their mom. They're whatever. And then they found their hand down their pants. I'm now masturbating and I'm talking to my boss. I don't know if anyone does that. Maybe you do. The concern about this is, you know, I think it's, you know, me. Huge fan of masturbation. Love that you're masturbating, but there's no start and stop. There's no end of the workday anymore. You know, it's all sort of runs one day, runs to the next, 1 hour runs into the next. There's not a lot of boundaries. And so now doomsterbating can happen. I just love the word doomsterbate. I used to procrasturbate. That's procrastinate and masturbate. That's me. Like, I still do that. It actually helps because, listen, orgasms are good for you. They release stress. They release anxiety. They release it from your body, but then you get a spike of these feel-good hormones. You have to remember that masturbation is part of being a sexually healthy person, so I'm not knocking masturbation. But since technology is now part of our masturbation practice, you just sort of let it bleed into each other. Like, well, I've already got my phone in my hand anyway. The porn's there. If you're watching porn, it's already on your phone. But the other interesting thing about masturbating, and this kind of is that a lot of us do it to self-soothe, right? You know, when you're a kid, you're little and you watch kids do this. They get stressed about something and they might put their hand in their pants, right? It's always been soothing. But when we get older now and things are maybe more challenging or we're stressed at work and we're right by our bed, our phone's already in our hand, we find ourselves soothing ourselves through, we're doom scrolling. We masturbate. The problem is we're also experiencing a lot more mental challenge right now. Mental illness, people are experiencing anxiety and depression for the first time. And maybe we're more apathetic and we're not motivated. The problem with doom scrolling, doomsterbating, is that we start to associate masturbation with only stress relief. And that's it. You know how I always talk about how our patterns link up to each other? Like you might be someone who, God, they all do. I'm trying to think. There's so many examples. Like you're with your partner and you know you can orgasm by yourself. But one time, your partner might have said, I don't want you touching yourself. And then when you're in bed with them, you want to touch yourself with them there. And all you can think about is them shaming you. And now you can never orgasm with anybody again because you associate those two things together. And then now sex becomes hard, right? So if you're associating that scrolling and all that and masturbation with your doom and gloom and stress, that could be a problem. And my challenge around that is just, I just think that when we start to associate masturbation with like boredom or stress or anxiety or worry, let me tell you this, the good parts about masturbation, like why I love and I talk so much about masturbation is because it's about exploration. It's about learning your body. It's about pleasure. It's about figuring out like, what do I like and what makes me feel good? And that's like the foundation of becoming a sexually healthy person. Actually, it's like the first step on the journey is, what do I like? What kind of touch feels good to me? And then doing it just for pleasure. If you do the work in masturbation and understanding your body, then you'll be able to better guide a partner. So a lot of us are anxious and worried right now, so we might be doing a little bit of more masturbation. If you're wondering though, what does healthy masturbation look like? First off, let me just say this. A lot of you email me about masturbation lately and you send me messages or you call in, you're like, my partner's masturbating too much or You know, how often is too often? We did a Q&A today on Instagram and answered some of those questions from you guys. And it's like a lot of you want to know, am I doing it too much and not enough? Or is it a problem? So there's a lot of misunderstanding around masturbation, a lot of strife, which I totally get. Because let me tell you this. This Doomsterbait study also says women are less likely to masturbate. 30% of men and 38% of women say they were getting less solo sex in lockdown. It says that 16% of people masturbate once a day, 25% masturbate once a week, 17% once a month. And men are more likely to masturbate every day than women. I just want you to know that it's all fine with masturbation. Pretty much, if you are masturbating, that's awesome. You might be like, well, what does it look like to be healthy? Is it wrong that I'm watching porn? None of that's wrong. Like, watch porn, do your thing. But maybe if you could start to separate it and say, I'm going to masturbate in the shower or in the bathtub, and I'm not going to bring my phone with me. I'm going to schedule my masturbation. I'm going to look forward to it. I'm going to make it more of like a special event that I get to do once a day in this particular environment, and you work it into your day. Because right now, if you are not great at boundaries and time management, this has been a disaster. It's been probably really hard for you during COVID. If I didn't learn these skills years ago, I would be doomsterbating all day long. But I have a great team that keeps me on track. If I didn't have people in my life that I had to be places, I would be in bed masturbating probably. So you got to set these things in place. Say, okay, I'm going to take a bath. I'm going to take a shower. You know, you could say like, I'm going to do other self-soothing activities. If you've been just masturbating to self-soothe, but it hasn't been about exploration or joy or pleasure, you feel bad after it, right? You could do other things that soothe you. You know, other healthy coping strategies, going for a walk. Oh God, I can't tell you how many times that saved me where I'm just in my head, not from doomsterbating, but just from life, from constantly obsessing about things. And then I'm like, this morning there was something happening. I was like, oh, I got to work. I got to do this. I'm like, just go for a walk, get outside. And I forced myself to go outside, and I know that always feels better just for 20 minutes. You could journal. You could meditate. I'm telling you, working out always does it. Whether it's just like doing some sit-ups in your house, you immediately change your state and you get out of whatever loop you're in and you learn to kind of go in another direction. And that's all it is. It's like redirecting that urge. Like, oh, I'm on Instagram, I'm texting, and I might as well masturbate. And just stop scrolling, I guess. The other thing about masturbation is mutual masturbation is awesome with a partner as well. That's just something else you might want to do this weekend. Try something different. See, okay, I just opened up my masturbating two times a day minimum. And a day, is that an addiction? Man in his 30s. Is it wrong that my partner masturbates, watches porn, blah, blah, blah. You're all fine. Two times a day. If you're getting to work and you're seeing your friends and you have a life and you're masturbating twice a day, I don't have a problem with that. It's when it's making you feel worse. If there are consequences to masturbating a lot, you know, if it's impacting your ability to be sexual with a partner, that's when we see problems with masturbation. All right, everyone, I'm going to take a quick break, and we come back. It's all about you. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's a kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Esther 20 in Arizona. What's going on, Esther? How can I help?
Hi. So I'm in a relationship with a 58-year-old. And I mean, he doesn't always like to try the things that new that I want to try, maybe like anal and all that. I mean,
wait, let me just okay. So he's 58 and you're 20. So how long have you guys been dating?
A couple months.
Okay, got it. All right. So tell me about this relationship. So what is it? Is it just sort of fun? Like, where do you think it's going?
I mean, maybe marriage and then living together. I'm living with him. Then maybe when I get older, I want to get married and have a kid, but he doesn't want to, and I kind of do.
Yeah. Okay, but it's only been 6 months. It's a little, you know? Because here's the thing, Esther, I can tell you this. There's already problems you're having sexually in the first 6 months. They don't get better.
Yeah.
Have you been with other people before?
No, it's my first relationship.
Okay. Esther, what about your family and friends? Do you have people, like, in your community right now?
I mean, my family doesn't like the relationship I'm in because he's 38 years older than me.
Right.
So, I mean, my parents broke up. Like I never talked to them or anything.
Mm. Because of the guy?
And I mean, yeah. My mom even took me to court because she wanted custody to keep me away. And I thought that wasn't right. But I kind of want to have a kid, and he doesn't because he's old, and I mean, he's thinking there'll be problems with the kid. Do you think there'll be problems with the baby if you...
Esther, it's your first relationship. And so I'm wondering what it is about this guy. I don't want to be your mom, but I'm just saying, like, you have so much to live. Like, there's so many people out there for you. And no matter what, after the first 6 months to a year, things get real and they start to really talk about things. And the sex, it's not as exciting as it was at the beginning, and we got to work on it and stuff like that. And then a lot of people too are married with really young, and then they're like, call me when they're 30 and they're like, oh my God, I wish I didn't marry my first love. I wish I, you know, took some time for myself. And these are like not just anecdotal. This is like... I guess I feel like I would love you to give it some space and time. It's your first love. Like, I'm just telling you from my research, you're 20 years old. You feel like this guy's older. Maybe he feels nurturing to you. Maybe a father figure. Does he pay for things?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good part of it,
yeah,
I guess, right?
I feel like I'm in love and that I don't want to break it off.
You know, it's your first relationship. And so it's practice, right? It's practice and really you learn, like, how to compromise and how to have arguments and how to have conflict and how to resolve them. That's a process in itself that you actually learn by dating, and you learn who you like and who you're into and who you're not into. Like, in your 20s, I think is a wonderful time to explore who you are, Esther, and what you like. It's hard to kind of know what you want in the first relationship. It just doesn't work that way. It's like watching one movie and saying, like, I only want to watch horror films. But it's like, I really like this horror film, but it's the only movies you've seen. It's like love and dating and relationships. It's time to figure out what you actually like. Because the first love feels great. We all love our first love. But we typically don't marry them.
Yeah. So do you recommend breaking it off?
I recommend that you slow it down. And yeah, I mean, I don't see this being your future husband. I just don't. I don't see it. Listen, studies have shown too that couples typically, if there's a 10-year age gap or fewer, they're more likely to stay together. But if it's anywhere over 10 years, 15 years, I mean, 38 years, you know, there's going to be a lot. Just statistically speaking, for you, I hear in your voice, do I think you should break it off? Yeah. I mean, honestly, if I take bets on this, I would say, yeah, not going to work. And I want you to appreciate it for what it is, But take some time to get to know who you are. Now that you feel love, as what we're calling love, or you feel this attraction, there's so many people out there for you. Your whole life ahead of you. You'll meet people wherever you go.
Do you suggest going out and trying to meet people?
That's a good question. What do you do for fun, Esther?
I mean, the person that I'm with now kind of got me into mountain biking, so.
Okay. So maybe you could join like a mountain biking group near you, and like, you know, they have all those like meetups, and you could ride bikes with people on Saturdays and start to make friends in your community. And that's, I think, how you meet people. You start developing things like, who are you at 20? Like, what do you like? Who are the people you're attracted to as friends, right? And there's just some inner work to do too. Like, you're not speaking to your family. That sounds really rough. You know, I think it's really important to build our community and to learn to connect with people in a healthy way and learn to love ourselves. We have to really love where we're at in our lives. I think that's part of the process. What's the rush, Esther? What's the rush to get married and have a kid right now at 20? I mean, is he pushing this on you? Is he saying, let's get married, let's move in, let's do it? So this is you.
He's not pushing it. He's giving me, like, if I want to be with him, I can. I know my mom didn't teach me anything about sex, and now I'm in a relationship. It's a whole different world.
Yes, I mean, Esther.
I thought my first person would be my love, like my first kiss with a person and first time having sex, but right. I guess things change.
I know what you're saying, and I feel like you didn't have a lot of information. And I got to be honest, a lot of us don't have information about sex. We have to learn it. It's such a good time to learn at 20. But I'm telling you that notion that the first person I'm going to kiss and fall in love with is just, it's kind of like a fairy tale. Not where we're at in our life now. But I understand that's kind of like finding out Santa Claus doesn't exist, right? You're like, oh, bummer. Are you living away from your home now? Do you have an apartment? Do you live with friends?
Yeah, I just got a house, and then he might move in with me at least to get me more stable.
All right. I don't know if I'd have him move in. You bought a house, so you have enough money to buy a house.
Yeah, I just bought one.
That's amazing you're already able to buy a house. Okay, well, Esther, I think you got to just be careful and take care of yourself and move into the house, try to do it alone and try to make some friends and try to nurture new relationships.
How would you recommend breaking it off?
You just say, this has been an incredible connection. I've learned so much. You're my first love. And I have some learning and living to do. That's how you break up, with honesty, compassion, in person. You don't want to send a text. So yeah, Esther, we got you. Okay, let's talk to T43 in Arkansas.
Hey, I'm so glad you got me on real quick. Been married for a long time, and my spouse just never really is interested in trying to, you know, climax. I don't know that it's, I mean, she'll, like, get excited, she'll get into it, but it's like, oh, just got to stop before we get there. Like,
has she ever had an orgasm before?
I'm not exactly sure.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
So it's not like she was having them and now she's stopping herself. We don't even know if she's had one.
Right, and that's the thing. I don't know that she ever has.
Okay. Well, then that's the thing. So she doesn't know what it feels like to have one. She's probably feeling pressure. I would have a real honest conversation with her, T, about your sex life outside the bedroom when you're hanging out, whenever you have conversations and you want to keep it curious and you want to keep it light and supportive, and just say, you know, I want to talk about our intimate life. I think it would be really hot to see you, you know, have an orgasm and to really turn you on. I want to make sure I'm doing everything to get you there. Can you tell me what really arouses you? What turns you on? You know, and she might say, I'm not talking about this. It's been 20 years. Why are you asking me now? You know, and you're like, well, because it's important. We have to be intimate. You know, intimacy is important. And then you could say, like, I'd love to make you orgasm. And then you could ask her if she's had an orgasm. And you just keep very curious and non-judgmental and see what she says. You know, I mean, a lot of women have never had one because they assume they're going to have it through penetration. But most women don't have it through a penis. They have it through masturbation or through oral sex or through fingers or a toy.
Yeah, well, and she's really opened up more for the oral, you know, than
okay,
even in
awesome.
The past.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, she's good with that. And even of late, in the last, I'd say, of late last year, is she'll say, you know, hey, do this or do that. That really feels good, you know. So it's like there has been some progress, but it's just, I just have always, and we've always had a good relationship, but it's always just kind of strange to me. I'm like, man, why do you not really want to try to get there? you know?
Well, maybe she's never had one and she feels pressure. Like, all of a sudden, maybe she feels like she's about to and she stops. That's something that women do sometimes. We, like, O-block ourselves. So maybe you could say, I'll do whatever you want. Like, I want to see you orgasm. Like, let's get you there. Like, I think it would be really hot because maybe she's like, some women feel like they have to pee and then they get embarrassed. And it's like, because you're stimulating the same area. So you just got to maybe calm her nerves and tell her you think it'd be fun to kind of get there together. Like, kind of relax her nerves around it. Because if she's stopping, there must be a reason. And I'm not sure what it is.
Yeah. Well, and it could be, I mean, it really could be the, you know, just the fear of the unknown somewhat.
Yes.
And
it's a losing control.
That,
you know, you lose control when you have an orgasm. You like kind of let go and you're like, oh my God. And maybe she's afraid of that. Maybe she orgasmed once.
There's probably real truth to that. Yeah. I think there's probably real truth to that. Well, that's very interesting. I appreciate the advice. And hopefully maybe I can have that conversation at a time.
Yeah. Let's talk to Rachel, 39, in Maine. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, Emily. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? What's going on?
I'm pretty good. So my husband and I have been married for 15 years, and we have been throwing out the idea of swinging, and I just kind of wanted your opinion on it. He's really into, like, me being with another man, and it, like, super turns him on to see me get the pleasure from someone else, and we have not done this yet. We just talk about it a lot.
Okay.
How
do you feel about it?
And it turns me on to think about it too, like, definitely, but I'm super scared that we try it and it might mess up our marriage because we're like in a really good place right now.
Yeah, those are that is the concern, you know. And so, you know, what I'd recommend, I mean, it sounds like you guys have both talked about it. I mean, what is your thoughts? Like, how do you think it could mess it up? What happens if it's messed up? What would that scenario look like?
I don't know. If it brings out insecurities or, like he says, he's okay with it, but what if he gets, like, insanely jealous and...
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know, to be honest with you, because I've not been in that situation yet.
Well,
you know?
That's all legit. Yeah, no, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. Or what if, you know, does he have concerns about it?
No, not at all. We've been talking about this for years, and, like... For the longest time, I felt like when I was younger and more immature, I always thought it was like I felt like I wasn't good enough. But the more we've talked about it, I've realized and come to know that he's okay with me and he just wants me to be more pleasured and he wants to see that. And it really excites him. Like, that's the element that really gets him going. And so that brings a lot of respect for me. I'm like, wow, that's pretty awesome, you know? And it would be fun to try, I think. But I don't want to ruin anything.
No, I understand. And you're right. Like, that is sometimes the challenge that we think, you know, what if someone gets jealous? And so what I recommend is that, have you ever been having sex and kind of like role played the scenario and been like, okay, so right now, has he ever been like, I'm picturing this guy and he's going down on you?
Very often.
Oh, okay. So you've done, okay, that's my first step. And then... No, really, like, that's what I recommend. Yeah, you've been together a long time. And now what I love is, too, that you realize now, like, a lot of us when we're younger, we're like, oh, if my partner wants someone else in the room, it means that they don't love me anymore. You can be with someone else and still love your partner. It's just we all crave variety. We want something a little bit different. So, you know, Rachel, I would say if you found someone, you know, they're still important to have rules. It's still important to, like, set, you know, have boundaries. And to have like a safe word, like let's say he starts getting anxious about it or something happens in the moment, like have a safe word, have a...
We've actually talked about all that as well. Like we've planned it and we've actually set up dates, but it hasn't fallen through yet. Like it just hasn't happened yet. So, but you feel like it's a healthy, like okay thing for certain marriages. Like it's not an unhealthy, like not a good place to be type of situation.
I don't, actually. Okay. Now, let me tell you this. It is not for every relationship. Like, if you called me, Rachel, and you're like, you know, things have been really kind of boring lately, so we thought, like, we thought we'd have a threesome and spice it up. Or, you know, like, I'd be like, hell no. But what you've kind of checking all my boxes here, and that's, have you talked about it? Have you role-played around it? Have you discussed safe words? Have you discussed what's off-limits? Oh, the other thing I want to ask you, have you discussed what the sex... will look like what is off limits, what's on limits. Like some couples say there can't be any kissing, or it has to be Okay.
We've so had some like seriously deep conversations for years about this. So it's not like we just started talking about it and we're going to jump into it, you know?
All right. Well, then
we've
gone
through all that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then no, then I am not that doctor on the air. Like, no, that's terrible. I'm not that person. I've been doing this a long time. I've seen it work for couples who have great communication and want it for the reasons that you're expressing, is that you think it'd be hot and he thinks it's going to be hot. It's going to be a sexy new experience. Okay. And like a lot of couples do it and they find that then that becomes something really hot to talk about when they're having sex. Like, remember that time? It becomes part of your fantasy. And so, yeah, this feels pretty good to me. I got to say. And I will tell you.
Okay.
All right.
Cool.
That's
all right. Thank you.
Just keep talking. Okay, Rachel, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
More tips and tricks to throw in the mix right after this.
So we got a ton of questions. If you go to our Instagram and look at our stories, we answered a lot of them today, but there were so many, I couldn't get to all of them. Okay, here's one. Is clitoral G-spot or cervical orgasm same, or which is stronger? There's a lot of, I can kind of sum this up. There's a lot of questions in here about, did I have an orgasm? Do I not? Like for vulva owners, for women, they're like, oh, was this a clitoral one? Was it a G-spot? I know we label them, right? But a clitoral orgasm was with the majority of women experience through masturbation or penetration, and that's the external part of your vagina. The clitoris is there. It's that little magic spot that has 8,000 nerve endings, and it also extends internally. So sometimes the G-spot, which I like to call the G-area, but I don't even really want to call it an area or G-anything because it was named by this guy Graffenberg, and he did not have a G-spot. It's named after him, which is just bizarre. But it's like an area, and I believe that area is like internal clitoral nerves. So it's not, and for every woman it's different. So I can't tell you which one's stronger, because the problem is G-spot got a lot of recognition like 20, 30 years ago. And so what happened was everyone was like, oh, that's the better orgasm. The clitoral orgasm is just, that's just, everyone can have that or whatever. But they're all linked into each other. So just focus on the orgasms you're having and continue to explore your body. Once you have a clitoral orgasm, it can be easier to have a more internal orgasm. So then you could use your fingers or a toy or a penis or whatever you want to use. Not whatever, but it's an approved item to go inside of you to explore and experiment. Because once you have an external orgasm, the blood starts to flow and circulate inside, and it can be helpful that way to experiment. Best hand position for giving a blowjob. My boyfriend likes when I use my hands too. All right. So I love this question because I think that there's been so much oral sex stuff on penis is about like, oh, you got to like deep throat, go really choke. I hate that. So it's like, ugh. Your hand is such a great tool. You've got your hand, you've got your mouth. So the best hand position is, there isn't one. Every person that has a penis wants something different. But I can tell you, it is about your grip. It's about like having a tight enough grip around it and making sure that you have lube and that it's lubricant, you know, your hand's not like really dry because no one really wants a dry hand job. And you could start by just putting it on the base of the penis. And this is how I'm going to show you visually, but like you want your grip to be like this. I remember it's like, if you think about your hand going around your arm, if my hand is gripping my arm, you don't want it like your skin to be turning white. Like you don't want to be gripping it. And you don't want it too loose. You want it like just enough grip so you can move up and down and use some lube on it, like I said. But you could use one hand and then you could put your hand at the base. And then you could start to twist your hand in different directions. You could start to move your hand up and down. So while you're going down on him, you could start to move your hand up and down to kind of follow your mouth. You could use two hands circling in different directions or in the same direction. But I would start with one hand at the base and your mouth going, using your mouth, and then seeing how your partner reacts, asking if they'd want something else. So there isn't a best hand position because some people don't really want much of a hand. They might just want, you know, a little bit of grip around the base. Like maybe your hands are like over their balls and then you're gripping at the base somewhat like a lot of hands. Experiment. That's what I gotta say about that. Everyone wants something different. All right, here's one. If my partner has not been intimate with me in 16 months, help. Well,
That's a long time to be with somebody and not be having any intimacy. All I can tell you to do is to have a conversation with your partner and say, babe, it's been 16 months. I really miss our intimacy. I miss being with you. I miss our touching. It's such an important part of our relationship. What do you think that's about? You could start getting curious and be calm, because I'm sure you're very hurt maybe and frustrated and scared. It's scary when our partner just doesn't desire us or isn't making the moves anymore and we're not. Because otherwise, you really are like roommates if you're living together. But that's what delineates you being friends and being lovers, is there's intimacy. So for 16 months, no intimacy. It starts with a conversation. That's what you do. You say help, you have a conversation, and you figure out what it's about, and then you keep talking. And to me, that signals a huge problem. Like, you should be having sex much more frequently than that. So I wouldn't wait 16 months. Don't wait another day. Have the conversation tonight. Remember, if you're hearing something right now, you're like, that's a great idea. I should do that one day. Why not do it right now? You don't have to prepare. You don't really need to buy anything. I'm just telling you all to have conversations. Even the blowjob thing. Yeah, you could use your hand tonight when you go down on your partner, but then you could also do the next step and be like, does that feel good? You could be like, what feels better, babe? One hand, two hands. You could like find out. But it's all about communication. Okay, so another one. Will I ever be able to orgasm vaginally if I've never done it before? Yes, everything's possible. I mean, I don't know that you will be able to with a penis, just to clarify that. That this whole notion that sex is about penis goes into vagina and it's penetrative and that's how you're going to have a vaginal orgasm with a penis. I can't guarantee that. Only 20 to 30% of women will have an orgasm. But I can guarantee that if you spend some time exploring with your fingers or your partner's fingers or a toy, I think the odds are good that you're going to experience an orgasm from the inside, internally. I feel good about it. But it's about committing to learning. Here's the thing. I think we give up so quickly. We're like, I tried having an orgasm internally. It didn't work and it'll never happen. It's like, did you try more than once? Did you try for a month? Did you try every day for a month? And then tell me that, you know, for 10 minutes a day, did you try? And then tell me that it didn't work. But you don't try twice. Nothing that you want to achieve or that you want to be good at or that's important to you is going to happen by trying it once. There's no like beginner's luck. Not with masturbation. For busy, busy couples, how do we work sex into our weekly routine? Love this question because that takes effort as well. We think, oh, we used to have time for sex before the kids and before whatever, work, and COVID. Schedule it. Your weekly routine, you talk to your partner, you say, I think Saturday mornings are the best time for us to have sex. And it's a non-negotiable, we're going to do it on Saturday mornings. If you're really busy with work in the morning, set your alarm half hour earlier and you're going to have sex in the morning. But busy couples, if you don't make time for it, it just will never happen. It'll be another thing and you're like, I'll get back to it when I'm less busy. But if you're busy now, I don't know anyone who's really busy and then is never busy. I've been busy my entire life. I think I'll always be busy. It's a personality type. I love working. I love doing my job. I'm busy. It's like couples, you're not going to all of a sudden be like, oh. And then the longer it goes without being intimate with your partner or yourself, the harder it gets to be sexual again, because you're like, oh, it's a whole thing and I got to do it and I haven't done it and I didn't do it yesterday or the day before or the last 6 months. Oh, I forgot. Is it really good? I don't need it. I don't need orgasms. I don't need to be connected. You forget. And then you do it. You're like, oh, orgasm's amazing. Feels so good. I love connection. So get on top of it now. If you're not having sex with your partner, figure out why. Work out a plan to keep having sex if you still want to have sex with this person. That's another question. How can you tell your partner to meet your needs sexually without hurting their feelings? Timing, tone, and turf. This is what you can all do this weekend. Make sure the time's right. You're both in a good place. You're hanging out. You're chilling. You could probably do that this weekend. Your tone is casual. And the turf is not in the bedroom, not after you had sex, not after he did something that disappointed you. You say, you know what? I realize that I would love to talk about our sex life. We haven't had a conversation about it. And I'd love to talk about some things you'd like to try. Here's some things I like to try. And I really like oral sex. I'm going to guess here that maybe you're not, you know, meeting that your needs oral sex. You could say, I really enjoy oral sex. When you go down on me, it feels so good. That's actually an important need for me. It makes me feel loved. It makes me feel connected. It's actually the only way I can orgasm. And I'd love you to know how I could be pleased the best. And then I'd like to know how you could be pleased. What do you need to be pleased, babe? Because I want to be great lovers. I want us both to really fulfill each other's desires. That's how you can do it without hurting their feelings. All right, I gotta go. But don't worry, I'll be back soon with more Sex with Emily. You guys, there's so much more to talk about, so don't miss my next episode. Subscribe to Sex with Emily right now. Please like, review, and share this podcast with the ones you love. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Find us on all social media. It is @sexwithemily.